Music lovers, music fans, Brock White.
Luke Jansky.
We are here with a special, I'd say it's an emergency edition, but a special edition of What Are You Listening To? To celebrate the art, the life, the music, the times of Tom Petty. A guy that we were talking about a little bit earlier, Luke, that I think is simultaneously properly rated and underrated at the same time somehow in music.
Yeah, it really depends upon who you talk to.
Sure. For guys like you and me, I think we got him up there.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I think some people just forget just how beautifully simplistic but intricate he really was as a musician. That's the beauty of Tom Petty.
Yeah.
It's Tom. So here we are, man. We're doing the show. We decided we were texting on Monday. Monday was just as you all know, what happened in Las Vegas. Wake up to that. And then in the afternoon, another gut punch. Tom Petty, you hear he's in critical condition. And it was a weird day. Because it turns out that Tom Petty has passed away. Then he's still alive. He's on life support. Later that night, it was made official. Tom Petty had passed away from complications from a heart attack that he had. He was found unconscious at his home in L.A. On Monday, October 2nd, early in the morning. And we decided we had to do this show this week. We had to break script, break format, and get to it. Because, like I said, there's so many memories for all of us with Tom Petty, the music, his music, and growing up with it. We were so fortunate to have him, I think, at our age, be such a mainstream music figure. Because a lot of those guys had faded away at that point in the 90s, but he was right there front and center with some big stuff when we were growing up.
Yeah, how fortunate to have that as like the old crew, you know?
Yeah.
How would you say, you know, like there was
the old
Dylan. Yeah, yeah, Dylan and Petty, you know, Bruce Springsteen, you know.
By the 90s, you know, we're growing up in the 90s and we're affected where we come from, VH1 pop-up video. And
yeah,
he's on there a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Don't Come Around Here No More, Last Dance with Mary Jane.
All that
and
stuff.
We get the music videos alone are iconic. Forget the music. It just says the videos were, I mean, etched in our memories forever, the videos he made. But you think about that, by the mid-90s, guys like, we talked about it last week, like the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac and Springsteen weren't as cool in the 90s for some of us.
No, it was just a part of,
it was a part of
music.
Your parents'
almost.
Music.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, you knew it, but
Tom Petty was still cool to everybody.
Yeah, you know, and the cool thing about Tom Petty, you know, one of the millions of cool things about him is, like he was one of them artists that it was, like you said, your parents' music as you grew up. But like when you got older and started like growing a proper taste in music and understanding music a little better, like it was just like, holy smokes.
And I couldn't imagine, Luke, like being like you, like a guy that started playing at a young age. How many times that Tom Petty influenced you in the live music you play, the music you learned throughout your whole career as a musician. How important and how intertwined he probably is in that story of yours.
Tom Petty was kind of a sneak attack for me in the sense of I like, you know, Last Dance of Mary Jane and a couple other
Free
ones.
Fallin'. Free Fallin', who doesn't, right? Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, cool classic rock, you know, yeah. And I like them songs. But as I got older and got more into, you know, music and not just what was on the radio and all that, it was just this growth of just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
This guy's incredible. Know? It just keeps getting better. And the older stuff he had was even more incredible to you once you discovered it for the first time.
Yeah.
Remember the first time you found Damn the Torpedoes? I think we all do. It's like, holy cow, this is the free-falling guy. He's got a lot of good stuff, and it just like blew your mind.
Yeah, that one and then Wildflowers were the first two albums that I really found outside of just knowing who he was that I was like, what?
I think Wildflowers, we'll talk about this when we start playing the songs. Wildflowers can go toe-to-toe with any artist's best work.
Yeah.
That stands toe-to-toe with anything by anybody. That's just a front-to-back, amazing record, and I think the greatest time capsule of what Tom Petty is and was. Wildflowers is, like, right there.
He came into his own, you know, and I know that was kind of when the Heartbreakers were kind of in a weird spot, and they were kind of losing their drummer, and they brought a new drummer in around that time, and I feel those... There's also good songs prior, but I feel like
many good songs prior.
I really feel like that was the pinnacle, even above Full Moon Fever.
Which was just a bigger hit than I think anyone realizes back in 89 when that came out. That was
Until
so
you
monstrous.
Sit down and listen to it and you're like, oh okay.
All those songs run that one record.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit. But Wildflower, I think it's just his, that's his peak artistically. Like everything great about Tom Petty encapsulated in one perfect album, I thought.
Yeah, and you know, as Tom got older, you know, especially around the late 80s and early 90s, around that time, he really started getting into kind of some slower, you know, a little bit more acoustic stuff. But that album had that, but it also had some
rock and roll.
Some Petty on it, yeah. You know, the Petty we know.
That's, I think there was a fellow local musician, not local, but you know, we know Sean Mitzel, a guy we all know, he's played in bands forever, you know. Sean put on Facebook a thing about how the thing about Petty is, if you've ever been in a bar band or a cover band, you know Tom Petty, you played Tom Petty, and you love the fact that the music is, like I said earlier, beautifully simple, but also complex and just gorgeous. Everything he wrote was. That was the beauty of Tom Petty, and I think that's what encapsulated on Wildflower. Like, You Wreck Me. It just is this rockin' chuggin' song, oh, and it's perfect.
That song. Back to what Sean said, I played a show up in Stanley, North Dakota, like about a month ago or so, and there was a gentleman that's playing in some bands that I played in, and he came and kind of did us a favor and, you know, played some songs with us and all that, and we, as musicians, because the band at the time, we only knew, like, you know, a couple sets worth of songs, and we just kind of put a show together just for fun, and he came up, and as bands do, they're like, hey, do you know this song, you know, whatever, and then he said Last Dance of Mary Jane, and which, funny enough for me, I'd never really learned that song because that song's kind of just, I love that song, but it's almost like not a Petty song to me. It's so good and so timeless, you know, I remember jamming it. He played the riff real quick and I watched his hands and then I joined along with him. And I remember thinking, like, when we all locked in and all that, I'm just like, yeah, dude, Petty brings out the best in people.
There's probably not many artists you can do that with
no.
A group of musicians that never played that song before, but there they are together.
But there's still a feel to it.
It's that feel. He had that.
Just, it makes you play well.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easy, but it still makes you play well with some feel. And I remember having a moment about that going, God, Petty, you know?
Yeah.
A dude.
So,
and it wasn't that song. Didn't, like, he write that riff? I heard a story where, like, he wrote that riff and the guy that he was with when he was writing it was like, you can't write anything timeless to that. And then he just sat down and was like, boom.
Watch this.
Yeah. And then Last Dance of Mary Jane, just that guy. Anyway.
There's a million stories of that about Tom Petty. You watch all these documentaries, interviews with him, and all the things, all the people that have worked with him over the years, and they all say the same kind of thing. It's like, just when you think, you know, you're stuck or you can't write something or you're at a writer's block or anything, Tom just did what Tom did every time.
I watched an interview where he just said, you know, I don't try to write a song. He goes, the best songs, they just kind of appear.
Yep.
And I think Tom really had a knack for not forcing anything. He would just sit and play, and then when the time came to where he heard something, it just kind of appeared while he was playing, which is kind of a typical thing you hear songwriters say.
A lot of the good ones say that.
You know, I think he just knew to kind of get out of the way.
And that's what keeps Tom Petty cool, too, because there's so many good songwriters or so many relevant musicians that kind of start to lose relevancy and kind of get fade towards obscurity. They try too hard sometimes. They get out of their comfort zone. They want to be someone they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Petty was never not who he was. He wasn't trying to be anything other than this guy that loved to play rock and roll and loved to sing these beautiful songs.
Well, look at the 80s. You know, 80s Tom Petty was very, very tone-wise, some of his 80s albums were a little 80s.
Yeah, there's some synth and stuff in there and some of those things. Yeah, the drum beats.
And there was that one song, the Mad Hatter video song.
Don't Come
you
Around
know.
Here No More, which is probably the most 80s thing he did in the whole batch.
But he wrote that with a guy from the Eurythmics. So.
And he also, it still holds up in his library. It holds up in the Tom Petty.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel out of place at all in his music, his lineage.
But Petty, as far as, to me anyway, as far as famous artists that went through the 80s, he was one of the few that was just himself. He didn't try to sound like a hair band. He didn't try to sound new wave. You know, he didn't do any of those things. You know, he just was Petty. And that says a lot about him to me. Because the 80s was the 80s, you know?
Yeah, it was the decade of decadence. And everyone tried to be someone they're not. That was the whole thing, man. You had all the musicians that were doing their hair up and wearing spandex and wearing makeup and doing these elaborate music videos to fit on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Petty says, I'm just going to write cool music still and have a cool video and you're going to like it. And that's what he did. The Mad Hatter video is timeless. If you have, everyone's seen it. Anyone under the age or over the age of, I'd say 25, knows that video and knows it well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a crazy video. And then Last Dance with Mary Jane, same thing. The whole video is just... you remember where you were the first time you saw that video.
Well, didn't he have like some 7 or 8 minute music video with Johnny Depp in it too? I want to say he did. I just don't remember the song.
You got me stuck in a moment, but you're right though. I know you are. Yeah. I'm just stuck on what it is.
He did.
Apologies to our listeners.
Because
Depp, he was on all of his stuff. His documentaries talked about him all the time.
Yeah. And I remember it was because when they got done like filming everything, the director like got it down to like a 14 minute thing or something like that.
An 8 minute video.
Yeah, and Tom was like, hey, you know, and then the funny thing, Tom being Tom, you know, when that video came out, they got it down and whittled it down to like 7.5 minutes.
Yeah, it was Free Falling.
Was it Free Falling?
I'm pulling right now.
No,
well, into the Great Wide Open.
There we go.
Into the Great Wide Open.
And Tom just told him, because they're like, MTV is never going to play a 7 minute video. And Tom was just like, well, just don't tell him about it and see what happens. And he said, like, for months, you know, they just played it, you know.
So you know, that was kind of a thing for a while, too. Remember Aerosmith had some long videos? Mm-hmm. Like with
Michael Jackson. And
yeah, they all did like the mini movie ones. And that was the thing to do. All the directors from Hollywood wanted to make these mini movies and music videos. Mm-hmm. And it was a thing for a long time. How can I forget that? Into the Great Wide Open. Of course, that's.
There's a lot of Tom Petty songs and a lot of videos.
Which takes us to where we are now with our list this week, mm-hmm. in celebration of Tom Petty list. You gave me a list of 10 songs. I'm like, we can't do that.
No.
Just do what you want. Do as many as you want. So this whole show is breaking format. The day it releases, it's out of our weekly schedule. That doesn't matter. The list doesn't matter. It's Tom Petty. It could be 100 songs. It wouldn't matter. There's not a proper way to pay enough respect to this musical genius that is Tom Petty.
You know, and I know we try to keep this positive podcast, and I like to keep it this way, but I wanted to do this too because, like, and there was a lot of stuff that happened this week, and I understand it for that, but, like, Tom Petty passed away, and you wouldn't even know it.
Yeah.
You know?
It seems like we took, like, a second to be like, oh, geez.
And no offense to if you like him, but Chester Bennington had like a month of people freaking out about it, and nothing against him, but he wasn't Tom Petty.
I wasn't even close.
Not even in the same. And I know that's a little negative.
It sounds really negative. I felt the same way. I'm like, and I don't want to diminish anyone's passing or anything or anyone's body at work. But it's
that's not what I'm doing here.
I know, but that people might imply that. We're on the same page here with this whole thing. Mm-hmm. The whole like social media meltdown over that whole thing, I was like, you know, okay.
That's horrible that happened.
Oh, 100%. And it's the worst. But it's like the Tom Petty, like, I feel like it should be on the level of like when Michael Jackson passed away.
Mm-hmm. Or like the Prince.
The world is like stopped for like an hour. Or I mean for a week and just paid respects. When Prince passed away, that scene downtown Minneapolis, I wanted to drive there. I wanted to get up and drive to Minneapolis that night to be there at First Avenue.
Yeah.
With the Prince music and be a part of that. Prince hit me harder. Way harder than I thought it was going to. But I grew up with Prince, man. He was everywhere growing up.
He was the coolest, man.
He was the epitome of cool. He was, like, too cool for school. Like, he was like, I'm so cool that it hurts to be cool. Mm-hmm. Tom Petty was the cool, like, walking down the street, you're like, that's a cool cat, man.
Yeah.
And that was Tom Petty. You know, he went through his phases the way he dressed and stuff, but it was always his own thing. He never tried to like I said, I keep going back to see Tom Petty never tried to be somebody or something he wasn't. If Tom Petty wanted to wear a top hat, dressed like the Mad Hatter for a year, cool. That's what he's going to do.
He pulled it off.
Yeah, he did.
Mark Maron has a funny stand-up bit about hats and how like most people are like, I got to get a hat, you know?
You got to be cool to pull a hat off. Yeah, you just can't wear a hat.
And Tom Petty was the guy he talked about at the end to where like they put the hat on and it's like they were their souls joined and they were meant to be together. And yeah, Tom could pull. That's the only person I think that could pull off a top hat like that.
Oh, you got to be a certain kind of cool to pull off a dress like that. He wore the checkered outfits the whole time and everything, and had his hair all different. That was what he did. You know, it was him.
Mm-hmm. But amazing. He also pulled off t-shirt and jeans like nobody else though.
Yeah.
Too.
Yep. So man, let's dig into it. Let's do our Tom Petty list. Let's talk about our top. What do you got there?
We talked about it prior.
I forgot this. Yes.
I didn't really know. For the listeners out there, I don't. Sometimes when things affect me really hard, I don't know how to get everything across I want to say. So the night that it happened, when Brock and I talked about doing the show, I was like, God, how do I say everything I want to say? So I sat down, as I do sometimes, and just kind of started writing. And then I kind of came up with something that ended up being like about 4 or 5 pages long, you know, and all that. Because it was a little tough on me when Tom passed. And I whittled it down here into kind of like a really compact kind of highlight points of what I said. And I didn't know if I wanted to say this right away, but as we talk about Tom a little bit, I felt...
I think you should.
You know, and it maybe it might bring up some more talking points before we get into our list here, but... So bear with me. Me reading isn't the best thing here, but or I'm not the best at it, but I'm going to give her a try here. So here's what I said. I said, Tom Petty. In my eyes, he was the rock and roll role model. He was unique, daring, and rebellious. And if there was ever a guy that lacked a gimmick, it was him. There was no bullshit when it came to Tom Petty. What you saw is what you got. It's almost like being genuine was his gimmick. He stood up for things that mattered, and he did it unabashedly. And let's also not forget, he was just cool. It's no secret he was a master songwriter. He could take a simple riff and melody and craft it into an undeniably timeless song. And as far as lyrics go, it's like he had a superpower of keeping things straight to the point, all the while making it so relatable it almost felt like he was singing directly to you. You can hear the influence of those songs pulsing through the veins of countless songs and genres through the past 40 years, almost like an unspoken appreciation and confession that Tom Petty was, and always will be, the man. He meant a great deal to me, whether it be everything I learned from him as a songwriter, the admiration I had for how he conducted himself as an artist, or just singing along to American Girl at the top of my lungs on my way home from a gig at 3 a.m. With all this said, I find myself more upset about this than I expected to be. So as I sit here and write about it, I think I know why. In a strange way, it felt like a symbol of the state of rock music to me. Almost gone now are the days of true rock music and artists. Days when rock artists desired to let it all hang out and find something special in the moment. That desire and pursuit breathes life and urgency into rock music and songs. It makes it feel alive and wondrous, almost magical. That sense of urgency and magic almost seems like it's been lost in rock music anymore, at least the last 10, 15 years. And I just hope the chance for those things coming back to rock music didn't die a little bit with Tom's passing. It would be an understatement to say that he will be missed, and from now on, Wildflowers will always hold a bit more weight to it whenever I hear it.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Yeah. Genuine, that's the word.
Genuine.
Tom Petty was genuine. Always unabashedly himself. And it's... Why is that, that rock and roll doesn't have that weight to it anymore?
Why is it
so hollow?
I think it's... You know, like people like Tom and people like Bruce Springsteen, Paul Westerberg, whoever you want to bring up, Eddie Vedder, you know, those people, Neil Young, I don't want to forget Neil Young. Those guys were the guys that, and many more, like I said, they just let it hung out. There was no, where, what category do I fit in? How's this going to affect this? How's this going to affect that?
What's my label doing for me?
Yeah. Who are people going to think this is cool? Those are the guys that, like, I feel this way, and we need to go and rock, whether it be slow or fast, and let it all hang out. And wherever we end up in that moment, let's see where it happens. And that's where beauty happens in music to me, especially rock music anyway. You know, and I don't think that's done anymore. I think it's...
Overthought, too commercialized, too sterile?
I think it's... I would equate it to bro country nowadays. Not to bring it up again.
No, but you're right, though. It's too
calculated.
I think that's the problem with most modern music, though, is it's ran by a few guys in a suit and a tower.
Yeah.
They run the whole show. A few different labels run the whole show on radio right now. And it's, if you don't fit their cookie cutter, their stamp of approval, it's just not there. And people are too afraid to take some risks like they were back in the day, I think, a little bit.
Yeah. And like, you know, Tom, when they were doing Damn the Torpedoes, I don't know if you have seen the documentary at all, but what had happened was the record company that they were signed to got switched to a different company. And in their contract, it said, hey, you know, you can't do this or do anything like that without consulting us and us talking about it. And pretty much, I think MCA told them, hey, we own your publishing. We own all this. Yeah. You're not going to win this and whatever. And Tom, being Tom, says, I'll die before you get my music in this. And I think we're missing, I know that doesn't talk a lot about songwriting, but I think that equates to the type of people it takes to write that music. You have to be ballsy. And I think maybe that's what we're missing is balls.
Yeah. That goes back to arguments about
the
independent guys too, that, you know, we admire them anymore for doing their own thing because they're not afraid to take the risks and try. And those seem to be the guys that resonate more on, a deeper level, I guess, a more enriching level. Those are the artists that I kind of attract to, and I think you are too a little bit.
Yeah, very much so.
Because they definitely still, they treat it like art still, which I think is really important.
Yeah, it is important, you know. It's not just not just something to sell a bunch of records and be famous and
try to get a few plays on YouTube and Apple Music and call it a day. They want to have lasting impacts in the world, in music, forever. They don't want to be a song that lasts forever. It's always, you know, American Girl, Run Down a Dream, Free Falling. Those are songs that are going to be played 50 years from now and still have the same impact when people hear them for the first time.
Yeah.
They're still going to hit them right in the chest, right in the heart, the same way it does the first time you heard it, for generations to come. You know.
Yeah, and that is a yearn, like artists used to have a yearning and desire to be that and have that,
to be timeless.
To be, and also I think that comes along with, I think a lot of them just wanted to be able to get up in the morning after the album was done or 10 years down the road and be able to look at themselves in the mirror and say I was me and I did it.
Yeah, I stuck to my guns. I let it all hang out and it's mine. Yep, I'm proud of my work.
Yeah, because it's all just a big ride, you know. It's not no one's going to care about how many YouTube hits you got or how cool you were 10 years from now. No one's going to care about that at all. But anyway, so thank you for letting me read that.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
Of course, that was fantastic. The list, our first three are ones that we universally agreed on. We should make our top five, which turned into our top six.
Mm-hmm.
So the first three songs you're going to hear are ones that we all thought we agreed 100% that those are Tom Petty's to us. Is timeless classics.
The best. For
the best.
Me. Yeah,
the best. Us, yeah, yeah, the best. So it's a top six this week, actually, because of that. And here's our first one. You said it earlier, driving home at 3 a.m. This is the one that everyone sings along to. It makes your foot tap as fast as it can go. And we all love this song. It's time for A Little American Girl.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
How do you not want to sing along and dance that song? How do you not? How does it not get you going every time you hear it?
And
infectious.
And it's got this vibe that's probably one of my favorite qualities when it comes to a good rock song. It makes you, I feel like a good rock song, you should be able to sit in your car, and or if you're not, want to be sitting in your car driving 70 miles an hour with your windows down, cranked as high as your speakers are going to let it go, singing along and
loud as
feeling,
you can.
Feeling no pain about nothing. Just...
whatever's bugging you, not on your mind, whatever's you got to do that day, doesn't matter right now. It's you, the radio, and the road.
Yeah.
That's everything you need right now.
And that's that song, I think, is one of the best that I've ever heard at that. It's American Definitely. Girl, man.
All right, man, this next one is another one that I think just, this goes back to the same thing. I think we've all been there, like when we're driving somewhere or we're sitting at home looking out a window, and you feel like you hear a song, and like you feel like you're in a movie. You ever had that moment? Like
all the time.
Yeah, right? This song to me is that The Waiting. That's that song. That opening strum and the drums kick in, and it's like, oh yeah, it's The Waiting.
I guess he sat and played that riff for like 2 weeks straight.
Until he got it where he wanted it to be?
Well, until he got like words that came out that felt right and all that. Just sat and strummed it. That song is funny to me because, you know, when I first started kind of getting into that's maybe above Damn the Torpedoes. What's the name of this album? It's horrible that I'm not remembering it right now. Hard Promises. There we go. When I was getting into it and I really started getting into that song, it's funny, when you lead up to that chorus, you're waiting for it to just go, you know, and jump. But it in like the most perfect way, and it blows
the
my
waiting.
Mind.
It makes you anticipate. It holds you back.
And then it brings it down. Yeah. But it's like in the best way. It's a great song.
This is the ones we universally agree are some of Tom Petty's greatest. And this next one.
My favorite.
We talked about it earlier. It's my favorite Tom Petty song, too.
Me too.
And for some reason, it seems like Free Falling, Don't Come Around, Mary Jane's Last Dance are the biggest ones, but people, like everyone, this should be like, if you say Tom Petty, You Wreck Me should be the first thing you play.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, so here it is. This is You Wreck Me. This is like the number one Tom Petty song.
That's rock and roll.
The beauty of Tom Petty was the first time you heard any of his music, it was an instant classic, and you felt like you heard it 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It felt like home.
Yeah. It feels like everything you heard he did was important, and it felt like it's a classic that's been around forever, and it felt timeless. That's like You Wreck Me's could fit 70s, 80s, 90s now. If that song came out anytime, it's a hit.
You know what's funny about saying that is I got my new band that we're getting ready to do some shows here and kind of get going. And
shout them out. They got a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Half the City.
Half the City. I figured I'd bring it up
find
at the end
on,
of the
find
show.
Find them on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah. I'll bring it up here.
Sure.
But anyway, we kind of got like a 90s and 2000s mainly, you know, list. We do have some like 80s stuff in there and some other fun stuff. But when Tom passed, I was like, it's time. I got to do
Tom.
Yeah. And that was the one I really wanted to do. So I brought it up, you know, and everybody's like, hell yeah, cool, you know. And then when I was playing it kind of in concession today on my way up, kind of memorizing some lyrics, I was like, God, that song came out in the early 90s and it's Tom Petty who is,
I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there. And it fit in well with what we were doing. And it was like
everything,
you know, and yeah. It's such a rockin' great song. That's rock and roll to me.
That is pure rock and roll, man. At its mm-hmm. finest, pure. It's like a black cup of coffee. That's coffee. This is rock and roll.
To quote, to quote the smart Brock White, it's meat and potatoes.
Yeah, it is. It's steak. It's steak and a baked potato. That's the classic quintessential meal. That's classic quintessential rock and roll. At its finest. It just is, man. I wish there was more of that, but I guess that's why it makes him so special because it was him and it's so rare. Next one, this time for my favorites. We're going to take our turns now and go back and forth. And this one, I always liked this song, but when he played the Super Bowl halftime show,
mm-hmm.
I liked the song a lot more after that because it was played all the way in the lead up to it. It's kind of like the song they used to tease that he's coming up,
mm-hmm.
the commercials. I'm like, damn.
What a riff.
Wouldn't get out of there. Nah, nah, nah. Yeah. So it's Running Down a Dream, and it's just, yeah. Do I have to even introduce these songs? I don't
no.
think I have. It's Running Down a Dream.
Might as well, though.
Yeah. Yeah, running down a dream. Tom Petty, rock
Tom
and roll,
Petty.
The guitar, just the guitar virtuoso. We don't talk about that enough either. How good he was on guitar.
And he credits I can't remember the name of the guitar player that's been in his band forever, but he accredits him to how good he's become a guitar
sure.
and like coming up with riffs like that. And
one of our listeners Jesse posted on our Facebook page that he saw him in concert in Bismarck years ago.
Okay,
and he said that Tom had like 75 guitars on the rack in the back of the stage. And throughout the whole concert, they ran through each one of them, the band did. They played all the guitars they had in their arsenal that night.
If you are fortunate enough to have people like your songs and make that much money, like if I was Tom Petty,
yeah.
I would have a new guitar for every single song. Not because it's like, hey, I got a new guitar.
Well, because the guitar makers want you to have their guitar front and center when you're playing. They give it to you. They want you to have their guitars out there.
That and every guitar sounds and plays and feels
different. Yes.
And they make certain sounds sing a certain
tones,
way.
Tones, everything. Yep. Yeah.
And so, good. I'm glad to hear that. If he didn't do that,
you'd
I would be a little surprised. I'd be like, what, dude?
Yeah.
On the... it's a Sound City documentary. When they talk to Tom, there's this like line hallway of just guitars. And my favorite part is most of them are semi-hollow bodies. But it's like, I look it up and like, yep, those are some of Tom's guitars. And it's like a hallway of guitars.
I mean, it's just him alone could make a music museum. Tom Petty's life and career could.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily. The people he's played with, everything he's done. Yeah, it'd be its own deal.
Well, and... I rewatched that documentary the other night, and speaking of people he played with, and besides the Wilburys, or what
Traveling
was it? Traveling Wilburys.
Loved those guys in the 80s as a kid.
Before that happened, the Heartbreakers and Tom went on tour with Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And they would play their set, and
yeah.
then stay on stage, and he would come
Bob.
On.
Yeah.
And like, one of like the most well-known versions of Knocking on Heaven's Door, came from one of those performances.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Isn't that cool?
That's super cool.
The Traveling Wilburys, another thing. It's like, I think over time has been forgotten about for some reason, but it was Bob Dylan,
George Harrison,
Tom Petty, and Roy Orbison.
Yeah, dude.
Holy
and,
shit.
And Jeff Lynch.
Jeff from ELO.
Yep.
Yeah. holy shit. Well, sorry to curse, but like,
no,
that's a huge deal.
You know what?
I mean, what do you need to do? You need to put Bruce Springsteen in there too to make it bigger? I mean, what the hell? That's
he was probably busy.
What a lineup that is.
He was probably busy singing Born in the USA still, or else they would have grabbed him.
Man.
Well, you know, if you look at the music at the time, nothing against music at that time, but that was such, the music at that time was such the opposite of those guys. It really was.
Yeah, 100%.
Music back then was very gimmicky and very over the top.
It was your outfit. It's how you looked. It was mm-hmm. the first time it became more important to be how you looked than how you sounded.
Yeah.
Because it was all about TV. If you couldn't be marketable on TV, you didn't matter. A lot of bands from back in the day that weren't the most physically attractive or appealing people, mm-hmm. they were having like cartoons or different things like in their videos. I mean, it wasn't the actual band. Dire Straits.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just an example. It was never like the band. It was always like a gimmick. It was a cartoon or something else, you know?
In my thought process, outside of it just being a natural just, hey, what do you think?
Yeah.
They think, hey, Roy's over here. What do you think?
Yeah.
I feel a part of it was maybe those guys coming together, feeling a little alone in the way the world felt at the time in the music world and entertainment world, and they came up with this awesome album.
And like the cool name and the whole deal, you know?
It had Roy Orbison in the band.
Roy Orbison, anything you want.
That guy,
you got it.
I'm going to quote, there's a punk rocker that I like a lot called Jay Retard, and he said, because Roy Orbison was his favorite artist, one of his of all time, and he had said that, could you imagine if Roy was as good looking or more than Elvis?
It had been no competition.
He would have taken over the world.
It had been no competition.
Yeah. Nothing against Elvis.
Speaking of Elvis,
nothing
how big
Elvis.
He was in Tom Petty's life.
Yeah.
You know, he got to meet him when he was a kid, and he said it wasn't like it, but I can imagine it's close to like meeting Jesus when I met Elvis.
Oh,
Presley.
I'm sure.
And it made him want to even more pursue his music and do his thing, and, you know, then he Mudcrutch and kept on going, and next thing you know, they go to L.A., and here we go. We got Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
All those guys from that era and all that, either it's Elvis and the Beatles. That's the only thing you hear. And that's cool. I mean, there's the Yardbirds.
Could you imagine growing up that time being a 13-year-old when Elvis was on top? Could you imagine how important he would have been in your life at that time?
Well, and coming from the only thing you had before then was like jazz and mama pop records and like gospel records.
Super straight gospel or super old like bluegrass. That's all you had. Here comes this guy. You know, talking about being a hound dog and everything else. It's like, whoa!
Yeah.
Jailhouse Rock. Wow! I couldn't imagine
that. I wasn't taken away from Elvis anything
I
said there.
Neither am I. But I'm just saying it's like any of those guys. Because I thought about from the documentary when Tom talked about how important he was when he met Elvis that time. Mm-hmm. In the film and the movie, his uncle or someone got him down there to meet him or something. Roy Orbison, though. Dude.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Underrated somehow.
The pretty
woman guy's underrated.
I don't know how that dude's voice. Anyway.
On to our next one. This is your first one on the list, Luke. Your first one that wasn't a mutual one. Take it away.
Even the losers feel lucky or get lucky sometimes. Well,
let's play it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that song for me is a kind of a multi-layered thing for me. Musicians, as I've grown older and got to meet and know plenty of musicians and watch all the documentaries I watch, we're all just big nerds.
Yeah.
And goobers. And so I've never taken
the
word.
We've all got the same kind of backstory. Like, you know,
yeah.
I didn't have a lot of friends or whatever. I was like the kid that wanted to sit home, listen to records, and I love music. So I begged my mom to get me a guitar, and here I am now. And
so I've never really taken the word loser as a bad thing, because between Petty and this song and then like Paul Westerberg and stuff like that, I like people that do a little acknowledgement to that. They're like, the people I like hanging out with, people, them record people and them people like Tom.
I'm a proud nerd, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all.
You know, so I just kind of like, I always like that sentiment of, even the losers get lucky sometimes.
Yeah, and that's probably how Tom Petty felt. I mean, that's probably how he felt about his whole career, his life. I mean, up to that point.
Maybe. That makes sense. That's a good point.
And it's the same thing. You know, he grew up in a pretty abusive family. His dad beat him and stuff.
Yeah,
and
his mom was sick a lot.
But he had music. He had his mom's records that she had for him. Mm-hmm. And he begged her to buy a Sears guitar when he was, 12, I think it was? 13.
I want to say that, yeah.
And then next thing you know, he just fell into the trap. Music was his escape.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he had. So he probably felt that way sometimes.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, it's the one that got me into Tom Petty as a kid. I mean, it's you can't Mary Jane's Last Dance.
Oh yeah,
iconic video, iconic song. It's the first time you see it, it sticks to you. I mean, you never forget the video the first time you see it. I was as a kid watching, I think VH1 in a hotel room somewhere on vacation down to the Black Hills, and they just boom. It's this song has always just been part of me, and sometimes I feel it's like, oh, making a list is like the one everyone else has too, but it's like, it's such an important Tom Petty song because it was such a huge hit for him.
You're not wrong for picking it. Yeah. This is, like I said before, this song is so good that it almost doesn't equate to a Tom Petty song to me. It's that good. It's like this otherworldly thing.
This is probably, like I said, when people think of Tom Petty, it's this and Free Fallin' usually. The first ones come up right away, and that's there's a reason why. And this one's just, it's iconic. It's a Mount Rushmore rock and roll song. It's Mary Jane's Last Dance. Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the flame.
I feel something creeping in it up. Tired of this dance. As we sit here listening to it for the millionth time in our life, we still tap our toes and bob our head and mouth the words. Yeah. I mean,
And you want to keep, I wanted the song to keep going. I didn't want it to stop right there.
Yeah, it was
because like I could just keep going with it. I feel summer creeping in.
When I made all the clips, that one was the toughest one to be like,
which 15, part do I use?
15 seconds sucks.
Yeah,
you know.
Enough. Yeah. That's the one. That's such a classic song. Everything about it is just timeless again. Timeless. I can show this song to when I'm 50 years old. I can show this to anyone, and there'll be a kid. They'll be like, Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They'll get it right away.
Your music didn't suck, Dad.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know. Yeah. All right, man. Now, your turn now. What do you got?
I got a Thing About You off probably my favorite Tom Petty album, Heart Promises. I just like it because it's very petty and it's very in the vein of like American Girl. But also, me being a super punk guy, it's got a little bit of punk in it. Well, really does.
A little juiced up. Here we go. Thing About You.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I don't much to add to it. I think it kind of speaks for itself.
A lot of this stuff does, but it's like we have to pay tribute to the man, you know, and go through these things. And it's I feel like we did a disservice to ourselves and to Tom Petty if we didn't do this episode today.
Yeah,
I really do.
It was funny the day that it happened. Well, it's not funny, but the day it happened, Brock and I texted, and it was kind of like, hey, I feel like we should do a Petty episode. Yeah. And he was like, yep.
Man, yeah, we had the same sentiments exactly about it.
Yeah, I don't think there was any.
It'd be pretty. How did you do a music podcast not talk about Tom Petty?
At least our music podcast.
Yeah, other ones might not. But
the risk of sounding arrogant.
Yeah, a little snooty. Yeah. I'm okay with that because if you're not talking about Tom Petty on your music podcast, can't take it too seriously, in my opinion. Not that we're supposed to be taking like the highest regard, but
no.
Know where you come from. Right?
Exactly.
Know where music's roots are, its foundation. And this is. They're probably one of the most important modern foundations of music. There's, like, we just talked about Elvis and Beatles and a lot of those guys. Chuck Berry, huge influence on a lot of guys. Tom Petty was responsible for that next wave of musicians that came around, for influencing them. And he's a foundation guy, a roots guy. He really has been for modern music right now, I think.
Yeah, that's well put. I will leave it at that. That was well put.
Yeah. All right. Next for me, dude.
Damn, another the torpedoes.
Another one that just makes you want to just rock and roll and rip the roof off and party and keep going as fast as you can and let it rip. Refugee. Here we go. Let's do it. There is not enough organ in rock and roll anymore.
Yeah, kind of died in the 90s. 90s is the last
Pearl Jam
decade.
Brought it back.
Yes, they did.
With that boom, boom. He's a boom gasper. Boom. All their stuff. Boom.
Yeah.
So, but that's just, could you imagine Refugee without that organ wail right there at the end in the chorus? Could you imagine song without it?
The 90s is probably the last decade that really took advantage of the organ. That song, man. It's such a kind of chilled out music song, but like the message and how it's sung and how it's delivered, it just wails, man.
Yeah.
It's so specific and unique.
He's,
and
he kind of like almost like it's almost like poetry when he's speaking, like the verses, because mm-hmm. he's kind of just doing his thing, kind of just going through. Not he's got this really cool like cadence to it, right? Mm-hmm. Then when the chorus hits, it's like boom and it's smashing the face. You want to run through a wall because refugee and it's Tom Petty. But like when it gets back to that verse, you kind of breathe and cool and kind of bebop a little bit in it. And you kind of get that vibe going. Yeah. That's refugee, man. It's just a cool tune.
That Tom Petty cool.
Yeah.
Seeping through.
Just cool.
They recorded, like, they figured 150 takes to that song. Because back then in the Heartbreaker days, there was no overdubs, which overdubs are like, you know, record the drums and then you stack this on top of it.
It's all done separate.
Yeah, yeah. This is, that song was
one
live.
Big room. Let's go.
Everything live.
Yep. Wait, you know, should be, in my opinion, because I think it makes for better music.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Like, not a lot of bands can do that. Even great bands that sound great live.
You're right. I know Studio Zach Brown is, doesn't do it. They layer it. They do it separate.
Yeah. And they're great. There's
phenomenal live band. I've seen them six times, I know, but they do it separate. They do. Yeah. I know you're coming from there.
Yeah.
But I like when it's, you can, a lot of the stuff I'm drawn to, I see how they record. I watch like the behind the scenes stuff. Like, you know, it's like, oh yeah. One big room. They got the rugs laid down. They got the wood. They got the sound dampening stuff. They're just doing it. They're cutting it. It's just, I like that vibe.
You know what's funny about all of that is like that whole album, and then I think the one after that for sure was done by, what's the name of the big producer?
Jimmy
Iovine. Yep,
that's,
I think
when
he
it was
those
bad
two.
Timing because he had Stevie Nicks in his back pocket.
Yeah.
He was dating Stevie Nicks, and he didn't tell Tom any of this. And
he was
Tom,
trying to get songs out of him.
And he took
I know it. I got it here.
Yeah. Well, they did the duet together eventually.
Insider.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be her song, and then he wanted it.
And he took the song from Tom for Stevie.
But anyway, back to my point is, like, you know, songs like Refugee and all of them on those two albums, they sound overdubbed. Like, those guys as musicians and singers are like, I don't, it kind of blows my mind.
How good they are doing that in the studio together.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it sounds, like you said, it sounds like it's, something's going on in your trickery, just straight up.
That is them just
hit
playing
the button,
live
let them
all
play,
together.
And that's how good they are, how good they were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man. So our last one, it's one you picked. Did I pick this one too? I thought we both had this one.
Well, let's just say we both did.
Anyways, yeah. It should be on everyone's list, and it's maybe, I'll say it's Tom. It's probably Tom Petty's prettiest song, I think.
Facing the Crowd's pretty good. Southern Accents is another real beautiful song.
I think this is just that, because it wasn't written for one of his daughters. Wasn't that what it was?
That I don't know.
I think so. And I was, because I fell in love with this song, not an issue when it came out, because it was a big radio hit. It was a huge hit in the 90s for him on the radio.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett covered this on a live, it was called Encores.
Sure.
He did Encores. It was all the Encores from his tour he did. He recorded and put it out as an album. And he taught you this one in there. And I kind of fell in love with the song in a different way, but I came back to Tom's version. I liked it a lot more. But hearing Jimmy do it in his way, it was like, oh. Then I go back to Tom, and it was a thing, kind of.
They're probably,
you know,
both great versions.
Yeah, but it's, you know, those happen sometimes. You find a song, you know the song, but you find it through a different way. You kind of fall in love with it for different reasons. Then you kind of
that
come back to
a lot.
It.
Yep.
You kind of come back to the original one, and you're like, that's why it works so good. That's why the song's what it is.
You know, and I had, it was tough coming up with this list. And the reason I picked this one is, like I said in my little letter, it's like, man.
The song's poetry.
It's poetry. And I put the end of the song to where while I'll always think about Tom whenever I hear this song. But
let's just play it.
Wildflowers.
Wildflowers, yeah. Man. Far away from your trouble and worry, you belong somewhere. Song that can apply to so many people for so many different reasons. A loved one, a friend, a daughter, a mother, a son, anything. It really just kind of works.
Yeah.
It's a universal message about the song. And I think that's why it's, again, I keep using this word of Tom Petty.
Tom Petty.
Timeless. It's timeless. Everything he did that works is just timeless. It just
it's
is.
Petty.
What a beautiful tune that is. Man, as we sit here doing the show today, going through that music, it's just amazing how many songs that we could have included we didn't go through.
Oh.
They could have made our list. Our list, mine was 17 songs long, yours was 22 songs long, and even that left some stuff out.
Because I still did, yeah.
A lot of stuff, you know. I think his greatest hits is like two, it's like 40-some songs, the record they put out, because it's what it is.
Well, there's later songs like The Last DJ.
Yeah.
You know, like, Tom called out what I'd brought up in that letter, like, about rock music nowadays, while it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think anybody else really, other people probably did, but he definitely very poetically stated what was going on.
I saw a thing too, a video about a bunch of modern music that's come around the past 10 years. Not a bunch, like two or three songs that didn't know but ripped off Tom Petty riffs or beats or melodies. Mm-hmm. And they actually wound up giving him songwriting credits, like Sam Smith, Stay With Me, it was Free Falling.
Really?
Yeah, that's and it, so there's a bunch there's like three or four songs that were like that and Tom was cool about it. Tom laughed, but his publishers kind of went out there and got him those rights, you know, got him those credits. But Tom was always like, "Yeah, man, it's music. It happens. You know, it wasn't on purpose. It's okay."
It's just Tom was cool.
Yeah, and also like he, I mean, there's definitely things he probably unintentionally lifted or was influenced by when he was making his songs. It just happens. It's
only so many rhythms, so many chords,
yeah,
so many influences until that happens. But
yeah. And I think it speaks to like some of the artists too that were just kind of like, "Yeah, I can't argue with Tom Petty. I'll give him a credit on my song. I'm not going to fight this.
Yeah,
because it's Tom Petty."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's Tom Petty. That's like the best way to describe it. It's Tom Petty, dude.
I remember. Yeah, so no, it's funny to talk about legacy, right? And how we're going to remember people. What do you think Tom Petty 10 years from now is, how do you think he's talked about in the broad ranging discussion of the importance of his work? Where do you think he's ranked at? Not, I don't want you to ranked. Just where do you think he's properly remembered by people that aren't in the music industry sometimes? Do you think that's what's his legacy going to be?
It's tough telling because he is the farthest thing from where we're at right now.
Oh, the exact opposite of where we are
so
right now.
So I don't know if him and others like him are going to slowly be lost and not talked about, or things are going to change and people are... That's either what's going to happen to my eyes. Either it's slowly going to kind of be... Either you were fortunate enough to have people show him his music and get into it and you understand and get it, or...
Because it doesn't seem like it was the old guard, not the old guard, but I guess the like I talked about, the guys were influenced by Petty, the modern influences, mm-hmm. that kind of came out and talked about how important he was. Like mm-hmm. the, you know, Eddie Vedder and some of those guys that came out and said, holy cow, it's Tom Petty.
Yeah.
You know, Dave Grohl, the guys that are, you know, probably they're in their 40s, 50s now that Tom influenced when they were growing up and came in the 90s. You know, a lot of the modern music wasn't out there doing this for Tom, weren't as vocal about it, I guess, in the past couple days.
I'm trying to think of a current artist to compare Tom Petty to.
I don't think there is, man.
Well, not in the sense of like how good they are, but like maybe like popularity and influence wise, you know. And it's...
I could say though, a guy that might have had a chance at it but kind of screwed it up was John Mayer, maybe. Is that right?
Well, I'm not thinking musical style. Maybe in his heyday.
Yeah, his early John Mayer.
You know,
I think he could have been. Of course, he's had a little more blues, but Tom Petty had a lot of blues stuff too. I don't know. That's tough. That's got my head in a pretzel. Who I would compare him to, I guess.
Not music styling, just like
influence.
Because like the 80s and 90s, Tom Petty, everybody loved Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Everybody loved Tom.
Yep.
You know, and so I don't know.
Who does everyone love right now? Only I can think of Justin Timberlake, because everyone loves Justin Timberlake.
Dude, that's a phenomenal. Yeah.
Mom likes him. Your grandma likes him.
Yeah.
Your friends like him. Old guys at the truck stop like him because he's entertaining.
That's it.
Everyone likes Justin Timberlake.
Tom Petty was the Justin Timberlake of the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
I'd say not popularity-wise, not musically at all.
Not musically. Popularity-wise and how people feel and when they see him.
Oh, it's Tom Petty. Oh, hey, it's Justin Timberlake. It's that same kind of like, yeah, I could dig that.
It brings up, it swells up a little bit of excitement in you regardless.
I can dig that. I'm down with that.
You know, yeah, and maybe there's better. Maybe let's leave it up to listeners too. You know,
yeah.
Maybe they can think of a better comparison, not musically, but just
like a universal acceptance of, oh hey, it's that guy. You know,
everybody likes him.
That's a really good question.
That's got my
head in a giant pretzel right now. Well, it's a special edition of What Are You Listening To? We're going to be back next week on a regular scheduled episode. We're going to do our Pearl Jam deep dive, like we talked
about.
And we cannot wait for that. Pearl Jam also. Man, the version of Free Falling with Eddie Vedder and Tom Petty together, that's a really cool video.
Didn't they do The Hardest Part?
The Waiting.
Then,
wasn't Tom on one of the jams they did for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Rockin' in the Free World? Wasn't Tom there playing on that?
I bet. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
There was like 80 guitars on stage for that one. There was playing Neil Young, rocking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, it's special edition today. We had to do it. We had to pay tribute to... a guy that we've all played, loved, been influenced by. And so I think some people listening today maybe not our podcast listeners, but out there, maybe people that have been discovering Tom this week and understanding, holy cow, because I know they've been a big thing on Spotify for him, like, this is Tom Petty, discover Tom Petty. And I think if you weren't hip to everything he did, I hope your mind's been properly blown the past couple of days, digging into his library.
I hope. I really do.
Because it should be. And if it isn't, you know, well, I'm confused by you.
It's just life at the end of the day. I'll be selfish and say I'm just happy that I got to be a part of it. Before I forget, I just wanted to bring up, I do have a new band.
Yes, you do.
That I got going here. We're called Half the City. We're essentially kind of a 90s rock and 2000s rock, more of the stuff maybe that you don't hear as much in a bar band.
I've seen your playlist. It's a very awesome, different, fun playlist because it's stuff that everyone knows still but isn't overplayed by bar bands.
Well, you said it best. It's definitely a playlist of, like, these are the songs this person like, these are the songs this person like, and you can tell when we play that we dig them. So we got a show coming up at the South Heart Bar here, the I Don't Know Bar, on the 27th.
It's a big Halloween party
of October.
There.
Yep.
They're also having a costume contest there, so come on out and make it a big party because the I Don't Know Bar
that's
knows
the bar.
How to party.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Well,
yeah, we know.
Yeah, that's my. And then also, too, at the St. Anthony's Club in Dickinson on the 24th of November, we'll be around there rocking and rolling. So come on out, check it out. If you want to come and talk music with me on a break, I highly recommend that you do that. Come have a beer with me, chat with some music, check out my band.
That'd
if you're
be a
around.
Night to do it too.
Yeah,
because you're gonna hear some cool stuff that's gonna stimulate your music senses that night.
Yeah,
it will. So. It's gonna make people on the drive home that night afterwards, the next day, go, man, yeah, that one song by the Clive, I haven't heard that song in forever, and they're gonna download it, listen to it. That's the funnest thing when you can do that.
I hope that happens. So anyway, that's my quick plug.
I've seen your playlist. It's gonna happen.
I hope so.
Yeah, I'd have that happen. Obviously, it's much different as a DJ. But I had it happen when I played a Chicago song this past weekend.
Chicago.
Yeah. Happy Man.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, man, song. I haven't thought of that. There, you did it to me. I haven't thought that song in forever.
And now you're going to download it, listen to it. Yeah. Yep. So when you can do that, that's a fun night. That's a good feeling when you can kind of get someone on something they haven't thought of in a long time. Yeah. So. I like that feeling. It's good to be an ambassador of music.
Mm-hmm.
Spokesperson for something, you know, definitely. All right, Luke, it's been fun, man. Tom Petty, not enough words, not enough I can't properly put it into words the importance of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and where he belongs in the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll. Because to me, he's one of the four faces up there. That's how important Tom Petty is. We're going to play it out. See you guys next week right here, Pearl Jam episode of What Are You Listening To?